I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live.
It's only just a matter of.
Welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. So if I were to ask you to list your top five, maybe top three, but if you've got five that come to mind, your top five stresses right now, what would they be? Will you text me? Maybe you just have three. Three to five. How about that? Text me 877-933-2484. What are your top three, top five stresses right now? Maybe finances, health, a prodigal, your marriage, your vocation. What is it? I'd love to know. 877-933-2484. Today we're going to explore what it means to trust God more, to trust Him more today than we did yesterday, to trust Him with more of our lives than we ever have before, and to believe that He actually has more for us than we ever dreamed or imagined. He's a good God. We can trust Him. Ruth Schwenk and Karen Amon join me today to talk about their new book they co-authored together, Trusting God in All the Things, 90 Devotionals for Finding Peace in Your Everyday. And you, we've got five copies of this gorgeous hardcover 90-day devos together for you. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. When you text the word book, it's just the word book, it'll automatically kick back a link and it helps you enter the drawing. And I just got to tell you real quick why we do that. We make it our aim to give away resources every single day. We've got three live shows. We're giving stuff away all the time. We just don't have the manpower to manually enter your information for you. So if you can just take 30 seconds and enter that information, we don't share it with anybody. It's just so we can get you the book, right? So you can text the word book. And if it doesn't kick back a link, maybe you did an exclamation point or quotation marks. I know it's funky, but that's how it works. All right. So some of the people, somebody said one of their top stresses is caregiving. That is a big one. Prodigal sons, health and spiritual health, work, marriage, finances, children, trusting God, and just believing. Wow. Thank you for those honest, honest answers. Appreciate that. So let me tell you about my guests and we'll get them on the show. Karen Amon is Proverbs 31 ministry speaker. She's a New York Times bestselling author and a writer for Encouragement for Today. It's an online devotional that reaches more than count them. 4 million women daily. She's a wife and a mom of three, and you can connect with her at KarenAmon.com. Ruth Schwenk is a trusted author of several books, including the best-selling The Better Mom Devotional. She's a Michigan football superfan and self-proclaimed foodie living with her family in the dreamy college town of Ann Arbor, Michigan. You can find her at thebetterlifeministry.com. And this is the one time I'll ask you to speak at the same time. Welcome. Thanks for coming, girls.
Oh, thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us, Susie.
Yes, good to hear your voices. So you know this, Karen, you've been on the show before. Ruth, so good to meet you. We like to start every day making it very personal. And Karen, I'm going to start with you. What has the Lord just been impressing upon your heart these days?
Be still. And being still means with my mind, with my body, with my everything. And going to Him for my rest, I feel like I've just been through a lot of things in my life in the last 3 years, a lot of grief. And I want to tend to just like keep going and despite what's going on in my life. And I'm really learning I need to stop and I need to acknowledge the grief and be still and find that rest. And the verse probably that really has helped me the most is Psalm 62:5. And it says, rest in God alone, my soul, for my hope comes from Him. And in the Hebrew language, alone means like in stark contrast to anything, like the only solution that works. It's not a counterfeit. It's the real thing. And sometimes I try to find my rest in things that are good, but they're not God. And so I'm really learning to go to Him and just kind of sit still in my sorrow and let Him do His work.
Wow, that's absolutely beautiful, Karen. I just talked with a friend today. The grief of her losses and her family are just catching up with her. And I would imagine that's the case for many, many people because we've been just sort of hanging on for the last couple of years. And now, you know, things are starting to surface. And I love that. My hope is in God alone. I'm resting in God alone. Ruth, how about you? What's the Lord been talking to you about?
Well, I've really been learning about Moses's mom, Jochebed, in her life and what I've been kind of calling hidden faithfulness. And that's this faithfulness that she had to God in, when no one could see what was going on. And she took care of Moses in those hidden moments and was faithful to God. And then we see the impact that had on generations to follow. And I think it's just been a reminder for me that in those times, you know, in such a public world, especially being in online ministry, the times who I am at home is who I really am. And the times that I spend with him, and the times that I'm alone at home, the times that I'm with my family, that hidden faithfulness that maybe not a lot of people see, like, it really matters. And it matters not only for today, but it matters for tomorrow. And so I've really been kind of ruminating on that and thinking about that a lot lately.
Thank you again. That's why I asked the question, because it's like what he's speaking to you, he can speak through you, and others are nourished. Mm-hmm. So thanks for that, Ruth. Well, mm-hmm. I'd love to know from both of your lives before we dig in. I mean, this does connect with the content of your book, but just a story from your own life about a time where you really were faced with a decision whether or not you're going to trust him. And Karen, I'd love to start with you first. I mean, your book, Trusting God, and I almost missed the in that title, Trusting God in All Things, but it's all the things. All the things. But would you mind just sharing from your own life a time where you really were faced with, I've got to trust him here?
Well, you know, I think a lot of little things pop in my mind, but I'm going to say probably a big thing was when 3 years ago, my husband and I really sensed that we are supposed to move from the town that we lived in for over 30 years. We raised our kids there. We had our life going there, but we really sensed him calling us to move not too far away, just about 20 minutes down the road to a tiny town that was near the big city where we live in the middle of Michigan, near the capital city of Lansing, because we were supposed to be closer to all our parents. My mom and my dad and stepmom were there, and Todd's mom was still just down the road, not too far. And we just really felt like that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be closer to them. Somebody was mentioning caregiving. You said it earlier, you know, just mm-hmm. We weren't needing to care full time for anybody, but just to be there to help run them into appointments and such. And we just really sensed that's what we were supposed to do, even though we loved our old town, we were fine there. And so we did it. And 19 days after we moved, my dad fell and passed away. And now all four mm-hmm. grandparents are gone within the first mm-hmm. 3 years. And so I'm looking and going, well, I felt like we were supposed to do that. We trusted you. And now it looks so different than what we thought. So now it's like a second layer of trust, like, okay, now we're going to trust going forward. There's still a reason that we're supposed to be here, because we do feel like he led us here. And it maybe is for reasons that we weren't thinking. We thought it was A, but maybe it's B. So we're trying to figure out B.
That's so good, Karen. I mean, as you're talking, I'm thinking of the story from Mark 4, when Jesus said, let's get in the boat and go to the other side. They were following Jesus, you know, by doing what he said, getting in the boat, and they find themselves in a storm, and, you know, and they're like, wait, what? But they still had a plan. Jesus had a plan to get them to the other side. And I hope to hear back from you to find out, as God just brings revelation to what he's up to in your life, because I know there'll be a story there. But God bless you. So sorry for those losses. Wow. That's how.
Thanks,
tough.
Susie. Thanks. Mm-hmm.
How about you, Ruth, faced with a time when you really had to trust God?
Yeah, I think, like Karen, you know, there's lots of little things, but it's always the big things that really stick out. And for me, several years ago, I had a period of about 10 years where I was pregnant 9 times, and 5 of those were miscarriages.
Wow.
And I think back to that time, and just, it was such a long period. And so I think definitely that's probably what comes to mind right away for me is a big, heavy, long period of time like that, where honestly, there were never any answers. I never had that answer from the doctor, like, that's what you want, right? Mm-hmm. I never had the answer as to why that was happening. Some of them were as late as 20 weeks. And so I had no choice but to just trust that God, you're in control, and you know better than I do. And so, yeah, that's kind of what sticks out to me. And I just think it's interesting because we want to trust God, but we also want the answer, right? Like, mm-hmm. I'll trust you. And then now just show me what's next, or give me an answer to that, or make this problem better. And there's just times where, you know, that's just how he leaves it. We just are open to surrendering to him and trusting him in all the things, like our title says.
So Ruth, what, how are you different from that?
Well, I think, you know, that was a huge time of growth for me because I think it was the first time I ever really had to trust God at that depth where, you know, it was such kind of agony. I mean, you're especially even for the pregnancies that ended with a child, a live child, there was anguish that I went through in every pregnancy because I had no idea what was going to, And, but I feel like it really, it changed me in that I had no choice but to cling to him. And I think that's what happens when we're faced with those types of circumstances, when it's totally out of our hands. I mean, I had no control over anything. There was absolutely nothing I could do. And so I think more than anything, it just really deepened my relationship with him and helped me learn to cling to him no matter what. And then, of course, those things I think as well prepare us for circumstances that we face down the road.
Mm-hmm, indeed. We're going to pause here. When we come back, I'm just going to alternate from Devo writings. But Ruth, you wrote about the fact that even Jesus was overwhelmed. We'll talk about that on the other side. Different people writing in what their top three stresses are. This dear listener says, my grandmother living with dementia, my mother caring for her, loving those without faith, not feeling good enough for others and seeking approval from others, learning that God is the only approval I need. It's a hard truth. Boy, dear Amy, it is. God bless you. Steve says, decline of religious freedom, economic uncertainty, wrong is called right, and vice versa, non-biblical thinking, very stressful. You're so right. And Leanne says, state of our nation, aging parents, and chronically ill child. Hard stuff, friends, and Jesus is with you. Mary Jane says, prodigal sons, health, and spiritual health. Let's just keep praying for each other to stay encouraged, stay trusting God. He's faithful. When we come back, more with Karen Amon and Ruth Schwenk. They co-authored the book, Trusting God and All the Things, 90 Devotions for Finding Peace in Your Everyday. This is a gorgeous devotional. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. And if you haven't texted in your top three stresses, I'd love to know. It just helps us to know how to pray and helps others to know that they're not alone. We're all in this together. We'll be back in a minute. Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live, talking to authors Karen Amon and Ruth Schwenk. They co-authored the book together, Trusting God and All the Things, 90 Devotions for Finding Peace in Your Everyday, published by Bethany House. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. And Ruth, you wrote a devo that said that even Jesus was overwhelmed. Say more about that.
Yeah, well, I think that Jesus's life, there's so much about Jesus's life and his suffering that informs our own suffering and helps us see our suffering through a different light. And I think of Luke 22:44, where we see that Jesus, he's in the Garden of Gethsemane and he's in anguish. And it says that when he was in anguish, he prayed more earnestly. And I think what I love about that, first of all, is that we see the depth of his sorrow and his suffering. And it reminds us that he too experienced that sorrow and suffering. And he took his pain. You know, there's so many places we want to take our pain. He took his pain to the Father. And it's such an example for us. But I think we can see, for me, I have been able to see my suffering. I talked about the miscarriages. My husband was diagnosed with cancer about 5 years ago. And through all of that suffering, I have been able to see, I feel like experience more of the suffering of Jesus through my own suffering, and see my suffering as a gift. And I feel like it's a perspective shift for us, because suffering never really feels like a gift, right? But when we can really see it through the eyes of Jesus, and it helps us to understand him more, I think we can it changes it to a gift, because it's like, oh, I really get this better, Jesus. Of course, I'll never experience the suffering that he experienced. But I can sense it a little bit better. I love 1 Peter 4:13. It says, but rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. And I think that verse just really shows us really the gift that our suffering is.
Yeah. You know, we need a new theology on suffering, because I think we live in perpetual bracing for impact and trying hard to avoid it at all costs, when in fact, you know, it's part of the journey. But if we can lean in and really trust he's near to the brokenhearted, he's so intimately near. And this dear listener said her three stressors, oh, I could cry. Continuing life on this earth without my husband, who recently died. A son who said he wants to believe but doesn't have faith in world events. I just got to pause. Father, we just pray for this dear soul, that you'd comfort her, that you'd show her your strength, that you'd that your presence would be tangibly felt, and you'd mobilize people to come around her, and even mentors for her son, to pursue her son and point him to you, Lord. And I just pray for breakthrough answers to prayer and protection from every demonic and enemy scheme that would derail and distract and discourage. We commit this dear family to you now in Jesus' name. You said this, if we're not careful, we can add stress on top of our stress. We can take a difficult season or circumstance that's pushing and pulling on us and add even more weight to the already heavy burden we're carrying. How do we do this? By wrongly believing we should never be stressed or overwhelmed. This is where we need to keep coming back to Jesus. So not to be surprised by it, but to keep running, coming back to Jesus. And Karen, in the book, you had this story that Devo was titled Not Yours. You tell a story about a funny thing that happened at the airport. Share that one with us, if you would.
Yeah, so because I speak as well as write books, I travel sometimes, and sometimes I travel for pleasure too. So I find myself on airplanes a lot. And for people who are used to being on an airplane, you'll know that there's an overhead compartment that you put whatever your little carry-on that you have with you up there. And so many people have the same looking carry-on. It's like a black briefcase on wheels. And so when you pop open that overhead compartment, so many of them look alike. And one day when I was coming home from Charlotte, North Carolina, I popped open that overhead compartment and I started to look for my suitcase. Now mine's brown, so it's a little bit different, but there were several black ones up there, and somebody had taken white out. And on the bottom of their roll behind little briefcase thing, they wrote "Not Yours." And I thought that was so brilliant that they, you know, because I've seen it happen before where people pick the wrong one and they get halfway down the aisle, you know, to get off the plane. And someone's like, wait a minute, someone's got my bag. And so that little incident that day made me kind of think about life and how, well, there's a whole like story that goes with it, but it all started when somebody took white out and they wrote that on the bottom of their suitcase. So then
you said, next time you find yourself envious, wanting to grab what someone else has, remind yourself, not yours. Instead, focus your mind on God, thanking him for the many blessings, no matter how simple he's gifted you. And, you know, your point really ties to Ruth's point before that about how when we're looking to other people, when we're making any kind of comparisons or putting these should do's and ought to's on ourselves, that's all the stuff of stress and anxiety. And those are things that are self-induced. And maybe say a word about that, Karen, how you've really learned, because you've been in the book talked about times when you're scrolling through social media and going, you know, I was tired and vulnerable. This was not the best use of my time. So talk about how maybe we kind of drift into those places and we don't even realize what we're doing.
Yeah, I think it's even harder nowadays than it was back, say, in my mom and dad's age or my grandparents' age, when, you know, you had that whole concept of keeping up with the Joneses. Well, you only saw the Joneses a couple times a week, right? Maybe at church, maybe at the PTA meeting. And now the Joneses parade in front of our eyes 24/7 on social media. And it's so easy to look at all these perfectly curated pictures and videos and think, wow, must be nice. You know, we kind of start to live in the land of must be nice. And we compare ourselves to the people we see, or at least what we think their life looks like, and we think their marriage and their kids look like, instead of just embracing the life we've been given and being content with it. And we need to remember, you know, God's given us our life. And just going back to that thought, not yours, not to look at somebody else and think, oh, I want their life. Because somebody once said to me, I actually think it was Ruth and my friend Courtney, about wanting somebody else's life. And she likened it to like a suitcase or a bag, and think, yeah, You know, you might have your inexpensive department store bag and someone else has a designer bag, but the thing is they're both full of junk, right? Everybody's got junk in their bag, and it's better maybe to grab your own suitcase, because everybody's got something that's not great in their life. So I'd rather grab my own suitcase. At least I'm familiar with the what's in the contents, the good and the bad. And I don't know what is in someone else's suitcase. You might be grabbing it because you think their life's better than yours, but there might be something you don't even know that's going on in their life that is, you know, is awful. So we tend to just let our brains go to, oh, they must have everything together, rather than, nope, we've all got stuff. So I'm just going to stick with my stuff.
That's so good. I mean, you can be guaranteed that everybody has a broken heart, or at least most everybody, over something. And it's like you'd said, you know, we're in this age of everybody kind of posting their highlights, and it's just when you feel low and you see people's highs, it's just set up to discourage you. So I'm just going to read a few more of these stressors. People are walking through stuff. Sherry has stage 4 lung cancer. That's a stressor for her, her purpose and her family stuff. Liz, let's see here, says caregiver for her 95-year-old mother, having and making new friends and lacking confidence. And this dear one says, prodigal daughter, mental illness, substance abuse, teen with special needs, living in a temporary situation while seeking God for the next destination. I'm wondering if both of you just, you know, there's so many more than these, but I'd love to, for both of you just to pause and pray. We've got just about 2 minutes to our hard break at the bottom. Let's go with you, Karen, first. Just if you would say a prayer for those who are listening who are suffering right now.
Yes, Father, I just ask that wherever people are who are hurting and who are walking through some dark times, that they will just feel you and sense you present. And please send someone in the flesh into their life that can give them a word of encouragement as well.
Lord, I lift up the person listening who is just really struggling right now, Lord. And whatever they're facing, would you just give them hope? Lord, give them a glimpse of good. I know that feeling when you're just looking for hope. And I just pray, Lord, that you would give them that today, Lord, in this moment.
Father, I add my prayers to these two dear sisters for all of these very precious souls listening today, those who have prodigal children, those who have health challenges, financial challenges, those who need a place to live, and Sherry, who needs a miracle. And Lord God, we ask for that. You're a miracle working God. You're moved by compassion, Jesus. You were moved by compassion when you walked the earth, and you have just as much compassion now as you're sitting at the right hand of the Father. You are moved by compassion. So I pray, God, move mightily. As Ruth said, I pray, bring goodness and breakthroughs, just a sense that you are on it, Lord. You're moving, and that we can all declare with our whole heart, we will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And our ultimate destiny is heaven, but your promises are for here and now. And Lord, so help us to walk in the faith and the favor of God and see you move in our midst. We need you, Lord. And our dear friends listening today need you. We trust you. You've been good, you're being good, and you'll be good again. In your precious Son's name we pray. Amen. We're going to pause here. We're going to take a little break, and we will be back in just a bit, talking to Karen Amen and Ruth Schwenk. And again, got 5 copies of this beautiful hardcover book. In fact, I'm going to put mine in the stack too. So now we have 6. It's such a gorgeous book. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. Tuning into Suzy Larson Live, talking to Karen Amen and Ruth Schwenk. They co-authored a devotional, 90-day devotional, Trusting God in All the Things, 90 Devotions for Finding Peace in Your Everyday. You've got 5-6 copies now to give away. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. We're just going back and forth between Ruth and Karen, getting some questions answered just based on the content and the Devo. And Ruth, you have a Devo titled The God Who Cares. And you're right, Jesus not only has the power to help, but he also has the heart to help. While he may not always give us what we want when we feel we need it and the way we think we should, he is the God who cares for us, and he invites us to humbly tell him what we need. Say more about that.
Yeah, that Devo was out of a place where I was talking about Luke 18:41, where Jesus says, "What do you want me to do for you?" And he's talking to the blind man, and the blind man is asking for Jesus to help him. And Jesus says, "What do you want me to do for you?" And it's such an interesting question, because we would think immediately, well, why would he even have to ask that, right? I mean, physically, it's clear he needs healing. But yet Jesus says, "What do you want me to do for you?" And I feel like that indicates that it's deeper than physical. There's a deeper meaning here, where it's the spiritual healing that comes before the physical healing, or in tandem with it. But it's just such an interesting question, I think, that Jesus asks the blind man. And I think so many times we're afraid to go to him with our needs, and sometimes they seem trivial. You know, we've been talking about bigger things that we've faced. Like I talked about the miscarriages briefly. I said that my husband was diagnosed with cancer about 5 years ago. But, you know, even in those day-to-day things, it can be so easy to not even realize that you're obsessing about or thinking about all the time, you're worrying about all the time. Even in those day-to-day things, Jesus wants us, he wants to help us with those. He wants us to surrender those things to him. And so many times we forget that he's asking us, "What do you want me to do for you?" That we can go to him as our Father, and we can be assured, and we can have confidence that he cares for us, and he loves us, and he wants to help us.
He's so good. Well, this question is for both of you, and I'll start with Karen. But, you know, I've noticed that for most people, there are certain areas of our lives where trust comes a little easier, faith comes a little more instinctively. Maybe it's because it's been forged through hard knocks, or just because there's been a gift of faith, or, you know, just a settledness that I know God is going to provide in this area, where other areas, not so much. For some, they might say, after coming through what I've come through financially, I've seen God's provision. I just know he's going to take care of us, but I can't stop worrying about my kids or whatever. I would be so curious with both of you, is that the case? And if so, what area comes just a little more instinctively, and what area do you have to more contend for faith and trust? Karen, what do you say?
That's a great question. And what you just described kind of described me. Like, I have a pretty good grasp on God providing for me financially, physically. I grew up in a single parent home with a mom that lived on a budget so tight it squeaked. My father often withheld child support checks from us. He ended up following the Lord and loved Jesus the last 20 years of his life. So I hate kind of talking about the hard times, but he was an alcoholic, abusive father, and often withheld money. And sometimes we didn't know where our grocery money was coming from. Wow. And I grew up in a house like that. And then I got married to a husband who was a youth pastor, and I was a stay-at-home mom, and we didn't have a lot of money. And I just consistently saw God show up and provide for us. And when it comes to monetary things, stuff, I do pretty well trusting God. It's my people that I have a hard time with, you know, my people, my little people that grew up to be big people, and now they need to make big people decisions. And I'm like wanting to tell them what to do. And I need duct tape for my mouth sometimes, but that's harder for me. I have I don't want to say it's super easy, but I have a lot easier time trusting God with physical, financial, that kind of stuff. But trusting God with relationships and with the people I love, that they're going to be okay, and they're going to make wise decisions. And none of them are making bad decisions. It sounds like they are. They're not, but I'm just afraid they're going to, or I'm afraid something's going to happen to them that I can't control. So I do good with the stuff. I don't do so good with the people.
I appreciate that answer so much. I'm sure plenty of people relate to you, Karen. How about you, Ruth?
Well, I would say that faith comes natural to me. It's definitely a spiritual gift of mine. So trusting God and being optimistic has always, I'd say, been my strong suit. However, when something like cancer or miscarriage, you know, when those things enter your story, I feel like there's not enough faith to meet that type of thing like cancer. And so for me at first, that's how I felt. Like, I can't do this. I don't know how I'm going to trust you in this, God. And it's something that I still every day have to keep. It's this tension, and it's gotten easier as time has gone on, but it's still this tension that I, you know, where I'm coming back to, okay, Lord, I know you're in control. I know I can trust you with this. This isn't going away, but I give it to you. And I know that you love me. You see me in this situation. You see our family in this situation, and you will take care of us. And so I think I want it to look perfect, and I want to have this, you know, really optimistic view of everything. But really, this is the biggest lesson that God has ever taught me in faith is, you know, really with my husband's cancer journey and just having to, it's a daily battle to learn to trust him when I have, you know, no control over such an ugly, ugly disease that I know so many people face.
Yeah. It's my hubby battled it a while back as well. How's he doing now?
He's doing great right now. He's in remission. So it's been about 4 years, and he's just on a maintenance medication, but he will be forever on a maintenance medication. So he's in remission right now. So we're very, very thankful for that.
Yeah, may it be so. Well, I'd love for both of you to speak to this as well, and I'll go to Karen first. But if Karen, you'd speak to the person listening today who feels like they did, you know, you said it so well when you said we felt like called to go move near to help our parents, and then your parents died within a year. But I was going to ask you, speak to the person who feels like I made a move, or I trusted you, Lord. I stepped out and I felt like things fell apart, or maybe I stepped out on the water and I sunk, and they're maybe disoriented by that. What would you say to them, Karen?
I think what I've learned in situations like that, not just with the move to this new house and new town, but other things I can look back over my life and see, it's how can I word it? The move was right. The decision was right. The, you know, whatever it is that they're going through, it was supposed to happen, but it's not for the reasons we originally thought. And what it makes me think of is, and I wish I could remember who first gave this analogy, because it's an old, maybe overused analogy, but I think it's so true about the little, I mean, it might've been Corrie Ten Boom. I can't remember for sure, but the little girl who is sitting on their grandma's lap, watching their grandma embroider, like a hoop of an embroidery.
Yes,
and
her grandma
was it her? Okay. So, and so the little girl, the little boy, the child looked up and said, what a mess. Look at all those knotted, gnarly threads. And then she said, wait, come up here and look at it from above. And it was a beautiful tapestry. I don't remember if it was flowers or what it was, but I think about that with our lives. Like I'm making the move. I feel like I was supposed to do it. We saw God guide us to this place. And yet it looks like a mess, but it's because I'm looking up from my perspective and I'm not seeing it from God's perspective. Like when it's all done, the finished product is complete. And I see, oh, I look back and see, oh, that's why God did that. Then it all makes sense. But when we're stuck in that mess of those gnarly knots and we're only seeing it from our perspective, it's really easy to think I made a mistake. I wasn't listening. Instead of saying, no, I trusted you. I moved forward with where I felt you were leading. I just don't know the why yet. I know the what. I was supposed to do this. I just don't know the why. So being patient until you hear that why.
That's so good. Ruth, what about you?
Well, I mean, really what Karen said, that was so good. And I want to expand on that from my perspective as well, because I always think about it like a painting. You know, I used to watch on PBS, Bob Ross, you know, his paintings, and he would, you know, he'd start his painting and you have no idea what is this creation, this masterpiece he's making. And you see a little color here and a little color there. And as he goes along, all of a sudden you can see there's grass, or maybe you see a mountain in the background, and you know, this beautiful masterpiece comes together. And I think if we can see our lives like that, it changes everything, because we, you know, just like that painting, you couldn't see the whole picture. It didn't really make sense. And I think when we think about the things in our lives, when we, I can always look back and be like, okay, Lord, this is how it's fitting together. But in the moment, there's so many times that it doesn't make sense. And I think those times really expose what we believe about God, and it's an opportunity for us again to trust him in that and know that he has a purpose and a plan. And just like he took care of things in the past in our lives, he'll continue to take care of things today and tomorrow.
Amen. Amen. Okay. Here's a question for both of you. I think we'll get to one of you and then take our last break and then get to the others. So Karen, I'll ask you first. Is there a story from scripture that's just sort of your go-to? Maybe it's a passage like Psalm 18 is one of my go-tos, but then there's of course stories like the Samaritan woman and Ruth and Esther. There's so many for me that I kind of go back to again and again. But is there one that it's sort of your default story or a default passage where you kind of feel like this is kind of a life script for me. I just get so much out of this. Is there one of those for you?
Yes. Yes. It's not a story. It's a passage. And I'm really good at knowing sort of scriptures. Like I sort of can tell you how it goes. It's not perfect word for word, but I do know the reference. It's 2 Corinthians 1:2-4. And it talks about how God, when we're going through a hard time, he comforts us. So not just that we'll be comforted, end of story, but so that we in turn can comfort others with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. And I've seen that happen in my life, that I've gone through things that I think, why me, Lord? You know, even the home I grew up in and being from an abusive, broken home, and I just wanted out. I didn't want that to be my story, but you know, fast forward years ahead. Oh my goodness, did my kids, all three of them, when they were teenagers, befriend people, teenage people who were going through the same thing, who I could look in the eye and go, I know exactly what you're going through. And my husband couldn't. His parents were married 53 years before his dad passed away. My husband didn't know what it was like to be from a broken, you know, sometimes violent home, but I did. And so that comfort that God used to meet me as I became a Christian during that high school time, through a woman who lived across the street from me. She comforted me. She pointed me to God. And now like full circle, I'm doing the same thing. I call it going and finding your old self. Like, what did God do in you that brought you comfort at a hard time? Go find someone who's going through that same thing and comfort them with the comfort you've received from Christ. And it's not a magic wand that makes it all, oh, it was all worth it, but it does redeem it. And it makes you see that there's part of a bigger plan, and you just need to be faithful to look for that person that needs comfort.
Mm-hmm. So good. And maybe God's got you ready for a full circle moment today, friend, as you're listening to what Karen has to say. And you know, God's been there in your past and he brought people to comfort you and you got wisdom, hard fought wisdom, and you're still standing. And so I pray that God opens your eyes to the person that maybe needs to hear what you know. We're going to pause here. When we come back, Ruth, I'll ask you the same question. Talking to Ruth Schwenk and Karen Amon, they co-authored a beautiful new devotional, Trusting God in All the Things. This cover is just startlingly beautiful. We got 6 copies to give away. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. One of our dear listeners, I've been asking you all to type in your top 3 stressors. This dear one says, diagnosed with what doctors say are 2 incurable diseases, betrayed by someone who said they were a friend, daughter who doesn't share her life with me, also painful. Praying for you, dear one. Lots of people walking through lots of stuff. One day, Jesus is going to wipe away every tear, and he's going to heal every hurt and make all things new. We'll be back in a minute.
I heard a small voice say your debt's been paid by somebody else, and now I'm walking, walking, walking free. No more darkness, guilt, and lost its grip on me. When mercy called my name, those chains fell at my feet, and now I'm walking, walking, walking free.
Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live, talking to co-authors Karen Amon and Ruth Schwenk, who wrote the book Trusting God in All the Things, 90 Devotions for Finding Peace in Your Everyday. Got one segment left, and if you haven't texted, and I'd love to hear from you, what are the top 3 stressors in your life? You can text me 877-933-2484. So Ruth, before the break, I asked Karen, and I'm asking you this question now, just your go-to passage or story. Like, is there one, you know, they often say the thing that you kind of go back to again and again becomes part of your life script. And Psalm 18 would be that for me. And there's a number of other stories, but how about you?
Well, for me, it was, again, when my husband was diagnosed with cancer about 4 years ago, I remember just literally frantically searching the Bible for any scripture that would give me some hope. And there was one scripture in particular that really stuck out to me. And I wrote it on a note card and kept it with me wherever I went. And that's Psalm 910. And Psalm 910 says, "Those who know your name trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you." And that verse just, you know, there's a, when it talks about those who know your name. So when it talks about God's name, it was reminding me that when I know who he is, when I know his name, when I know that he's the provider, that he's the healer, that he's my father, that he's my shepherd. I mean, we could go on and on and on, that he's faithful, he's trustworthy, he's kind, he's sovereign, all of those things. That verse was a reminder to me of who he was and who he is in my life. And so that, ever since then, that verse has been hallmark for me. Like I keep coming back to it over and over again. And I think the other thing that verse reminded me of, and I just want to encourage anyone listening today, it reminded me of the importance of knowing his name. And that means that the time that I spend with him today, whether I'm going through something really big right now or not, like the time that I spend with him today matters, because I'm getting to know who he is more. And when I'm getting to know, like this verse says, when I know him, then I can trust him. And so it really highlighted for me why I'm so thankful in high school that I was led to the Lord and then have spent so many years following him, because it prepared me for a time like this, and to the best that it could, right? It prepared me for a time like this to know who he was and that I could really trust him in that.
You know, it's such a good reminder as to why we need our faces in the Word of God, because, you know, Mark Batterson always says, if you want a word from God, you need to get into the Word of God. And as we sit there and we marinate and meditate and just sit with passages of Scripture that kind of jump out at us, it's amazing how they become seeds for a future harvest. You know, they get planted in us, and then the storms come and that thing breaks forth and starts to bear fruit in our lives. It's such a powerful thing. Well, Ruth, you got a devo about how not to get lost. And you say being let go is one thing, learning to hold on is another. One sets you free and the other keeps you from getting lost on the journey. And you said, are you in a season or set of circumstances that has you feeling lost or disoriented? My prayer for you is that God would give you the courage to walk the path he has chosen for you. May he give you the grace to not only accept it, but to embrace it. And as you hold on to him, may your heart be aligned with his. It's God's choice to lead. It's ours to follow. Say a bit more.
Well, you know, when Pharaoh, this was about when Pharaoh let his people go, they didn't know where they were headed, right? They were just going. And I think, you know, these verses remind us that God knows best, and he knows what we need, when we need it, where we need it, no matter what. And, you know, sometimes I know we've kind of already talked about this a little bit, but there's times where life just feels confusing and we're like, why, Lord, why now? And I remember feeling that when my husband was diagnosed. I remember thinking, well, first of all, we don't have time for this. We have four kids, you know, like, how can this even be a part of our story? I mean, this cannot be. And I remember also thinking, I don't want to do this. I don't want to walk through this. I don't want this to be my story. I don't want to learn about this type of cancer. I don't, you know, all of this. It was so, so heavy and so much. But I, you know, this is a reminder to us that God, he is with us. And there's times he's walking beside us. And there's times that he has to carry us that we don't even know, you know, where we're going. And we can trust him in all of that.
Beautiful. Well, Karen, in your chapter titled A Peace That's Out of This World, you say, the peace Jesus promises literally means having a heart and mind that are undisturbed and whole, that are no longer disquieted, that can rest assured and not be afraid, knowing God is in control. This is a peace that surpasses all human understanding. Is your heart unsettled, your mind uneasy? Take your troubles to Jesus. He sees, he hears, and he also listens. He alone can provide serenity for your soul. That's beautiful. Say more about that one.
Yeah, that devotion was based on John 14:27. And in the New Living Translation, it says this: I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled. Don't be afraid. So when I read that verse, I think, okay, must be sometimes I'm going to be troubled and sometimes I'm going to be afraid, or he wouldn't say that. But just the whole concept of it being a peace that's out of this world, there's so many things that the world kind of suggests to us that will bring us peace. You know, go have a spa day. Not that I'm against spa days. Anyone want to gift me with a spa day? I will gladly take it. You know, not that it's wrong to want to, you know, talk to a friend or take a walk or, you know, take a break or go on a cruise, you know, whatever. There are things that the world says, oh, if you just do this, you know, that stress is going to melt away. But really, those things can help in the short run. But really, the only thing that truly brings our hearts, our minds, our souls, our whole being peace is Jesus. And so we have to get to the point where we stop trying to usher in that peace through counterfeit means, and we go to God alone. Again, not that those other things aren't helpful. I mean, Ruth will tell you, she gives me peace sometimes because I call her freaking out and saying, you need to talk me through this. I'm so stressed with all that's going on in my life. Friends can be helpful, but they're not Jesus. And we need to make sure that we have that in proper perspective, that we're going to him when we feel troubled and we feel afraid, because he promises to meet us.
Yeah. I appreciated in that devotional, particularly where you were tired, you had a lot, you know, back-to-back Zoom meetings. And as the case for most everybody, when you're exhausted, you sit down and you scroll or you watch, and you're always faced with advertisements. You know, here's the answer to your question, this spa, this salon, this whatever. And I love a massage as much as the next person. But I appreciated that juxtaposition because, you know, in recovery community, they say, you know, halt when you're hungry, angry, lonely, tired. Be careful, because you're just kind of subject and vulnerable to making choices that you wouldn't otherwise make. And I think it's such a good reminder that those extra things, you know, going to a salon and spa, those are fine. But when you're tired, that your default response should be, Jesus, come to me, he says, all who are weary. I mean, that is where you can be put right, where he can show you, shore up your life over here, go take a nap over here. And he gives us the most helpful help, doesn't he, Karen?
Yeah, yeah. You're exactly right. And our default might be to hit the phone, but we need to hit our knees. That's what I try to preach. I have these little one sentence sermons I preach to myself sometimes. And that's one of them, Karen, don't pick up the phone, you know, go get on your knees.
Amen. Amen. Well, we just got a little bit of time left. And so Ruth, I want to ask you, what do you know about God now that you didn't know even 5 years ago?
I would say, that he is, I can say without a doubt that he's the sustainer and provider. And we'll all face suffering and hard things that feel impossible. But he's right there with us. And I know I keep saying that, but it's so important that we know we're not alone in this, because I think it's so easy to feel alone in your pain and your suffering. And you're not the only one. You're not the only one suffering. And I remember when I was first going through this with my husband, I remember being at a stoplight and looking next to me at the woman next to me. And I thought to myself, I wonder what she's going through right now. And I think, you know, that's how God's used that and this in my life. One of the ways that he's used suffering in my life is just opening my eyes to others suffering more and just proving himself as the sustainer and the provider in the times when I am at my deepest need.
Wow. Karen, we have about 60 seconds. What do you say?
That God can handle my emotions. I think so often I've been told throughout my life, boy, she's a lot, you know, she's a bit much. And so sometimes I hold back because I think, oh, I am a bit much. I know that about me. That's just how I roll. But sometimes I wrongly think God can't handle my too much. My talking too much, my crying too much, my, I can't handle this, my freaking out too much, but he can handle it all. I can just be honest with him about all my emotions. I'm not too much for God.
No, you're fearfully and wonderfully made, Karen. And girl, you get a lot done in a day too. I'm just saying. So thanks for spending time with me today, girls. And thanks for sharing your beautiful book with us. God bless you.
Thank you.
Karen Amon, Ruth Schwenk were my guests today, and the title of their book, Trusting God in All the Things. Again, we'll leave that drawing open for a little bit. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. Maybe you needed to hear that today. You're not too much, and God's never going to leave you or forsake you. It's impossible for him to fail you. I'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Susie Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.